And while vulnerability is a great thing and can be a great part of our business, people are not using the vulnerability in the right way. So I believe we need to teach from our scars, not from our wounds.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass. These are the themes we are exploring. So there's two camps out there right now. There is the I've got some time to work on my business. What is it I should be doing? And then there's this other camp of, I think I should be working on my business, but I am overrun with emails, trying to teach my kids, managing my state, handling the world, running out and getting groceries from my neighbors. There's a lot going on for all of us right now. With that said, we are also in a period where there is an opportunity to pause. There's an opportunity to self-reflect on our business. And my guest today is encouraging us to do just that. Laura Beauparlant is the founder of Lab Creative, and she's one of my most favorite people to speak to the topic of brand and branding. We had an amazing conversation today about how do you create a three-dimensional brand and what is the opportunity that is sitting on the table for all of us to reevaluate what our brand means and how we put it into the world. It is truly my pleasure to introduce you to my friend, Laura Beauparlant. Laura Beauparlant, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this is going to be a really fun interview. We've been really trying to balance our content between mindset and supporting health through this really interesting time. But there's also business considerations that we need to look at as entrepreneurs. And Laura, you are an expert in helping people position their brands. You are the founder of Lab Creative, the author of Brand Chemistry, and you are one of the smartest branding influencers I know and have worked for a long time with my own community. So I'm so excited to have you here today. Can you share with people a little bit more about you, your background, and why you really are so passionate about bringing these human and authentic brands to the surface for entrepreneurs?
Well, thank you for that amazing intro. I'm sitting over here with like a grin ear to ear. So thank you for making my morning with that. So my background, I've been an entrepreneur for 16 years, actually, and a designer for over 20. And it's not been a straight line. I don't think anybody's life journey is a straight line, let alone their business journey. I actually had a completely different business until about 4 years ago when I pivoted to Lab Creative. Now, that doesn't mean I wasn't doing this type of branding and design work for clients before that, but my previous business was focused on creating stationery, actually wedding and special event stationery. And I really built a brand in that space for 12 years. I started that in 2004 when there was no interesting wedding stationery out there. And now it's everywhere, which I think is amazing. And I believe that I was at the forefront of changing the look of that stationery. And then I started to actually fall out of love with the industry, which is kind of funny. I felt like I needed a divorce from the wedding industry. And I knew I needed something different. I had a big life event happen in 2015 that was really that pivot, that line in the sand. Sometimes people ask me, do you remember when you made that decision to change your business? And I'm like, yes, I remember the exact moment. And I just knew that I was meant for something so much bigger than what I was doing. And I needed to help more people and inspire them. And that I have a gift for really seeing people and really digging deep and seeing their true authentic selves and then helping them bring it to life visually. So Lab Creative was born 4 years ago, April 1st, actually. And so I've just hit the sort of anniversary. Thank you. And my book launch was a year ago, April 1st as well. So April 1st is kind of a significant day in my life, even though it's April Fool's. There's no joking for me on that day. And here I am, you know, 4 years after really starting this journey. And I've got Brand Camp, my program and my methodology, my book, Brand Chemistry. I've been speaking on stages and I've been having the impact and helping entrepreneurs find the clarity and confidence in their brand, and then creating that beautiful, powerful, aligned visual expression of it so that the world can see them for who they really are.
I really love that. And I actually want to back up a little bit, because I want to be really clear. When we are talking about a brand, we are not talking about just the visual assets and the visual representation. We're talking about the three-dimensional entity that is your brand. Can you talk Absolutely. A little bit about how you define brand?
Yeah, so it's so much more than a logo. So I use the analogy that your brand is like a beautifully decorated cake. And I know you're all in the health space. So just imagine it, that it's a gluten-free, you know, vegan, whatever makeup of cake that you like. And your logo and your website are like the icing and sprinkles on the outside. But it's the substance, it's all the ingredients and the proportions of all those ingredients that it took to make a cake that doesn't just look and smell good, but it tastes amazing as well. So just like a cake that lacks substance, you know, that is just sprinkles and icing, lacks substance, so is a brand that's all logo and website. So you could have the most beautiful brand in the world, but if there's nothing underneath it, what is it really saying to people? So I believe that your logo and your website are just one layer of that cake. You need to look at how your brand makes people feel, the experience they have when they interact with you, whether it's through your social media or on your website, or how you respond to emails, how you answer the phone, all of these little touch points, that journey you take people on. And ultimately, for many of you, you are the brand. And how are you making people feel? I believe that it's about that heart-to-heart connection. People are craving connection even more so now, as we're all kind of stuck at home and having very little human interaction except virtually. People are craving that human connection, and they want that from your brand. Your brand needs the heart and soul in it, and a lot of that will come from you.
So how do we start with that? Like, how, I know you have a whole process that you take people through, and we were discussing this at the beginning, that there really is an unprecedented opportunity right now for self-reflection and to really delve into the values of your brand and the mission of your business and really transition it. If that's what you want to do, or you want to up the ante, there's an opportunity sitting on the table right now. And in fact, we were saying that probably the standard is actually going to elevate. We are going to have to, especially in the online space, what we were able to get away with 6 months ago, we are not going to be able to get away with on the other side of this, because everyone is upping their game. So where do you suggest people start off when they're really looking at reevaluating where their brand is at?
Absolutely. So it actually says this on the back of my book, Think First, Design Later. So even though I'm a designer by background, I believe that we have to do the deep thinking. And, you know, a lot of us have more time right now to sit back and really assess, like, is this business the way it is now what I really want? Right? Have I just been kind of going through the motions? Do I need to pivot? Do I need to pivot because I have to, because of the nature of my business? Do I want to pivot? Like, why do you do what you do? So I take all of my clients through Brand Camp, which is the methodology that I've developed. And it's really about getting crystal clear on the foundation. So the way I like to describe it is that most people are building their brand like they're putting together a puzzle without having the box cover with the picture on it. And I know a lot of people are doing puzzles right now. So imagine how frustrating it would be.
Yes, we are.
To try to put together that 1,000-piece puzzle without knowing what you're creating. So Brand Camp, that building a foundation to your brand is like creating the picture on the box of that puzzle. So you actually know what pieces you need and how to actually go forward. And most people are being very reactive with their brand. They're like, oh, I need to post something on social media. oh, I need to write a blog post. Oh, I've got this new offer. And they're not really looking at the big picture and going, does this align with my values? Will what I'm saying and doing attract those dream clients? Or is this just trying to cater to everybody? Am I using scarcity language right now, which is happening a lot? What is the impression I'm giving people? And so when you have that picture, you know what you're creating. You can then look at it through the lens that everything you do, does this align with why I do what I do? Does this align with the position that I take, the heart and soul of my brand? Does this match the personality of my brand? We create a brand personality for every client we work with so that when they're writing their posts on social media or their website or wherever, that there's a tone, that there's a personality. Somebody can read something that you write and then meet you in person or have a call with you and think, that's exactly who I expected when we met. So it's important to really lay that foundational piece first before you design anything and put it out into the world. So that's what I would recommend everybody really do right now, is really do that deep thinking.
I think this idea of a brand personality is super cool. Have you found that there's certain attributes of that brand personality that matter more than others that people should really lead with?
I think it's finding the balance. So what I've seen in the time I've been doing this is that in some ways this is a really key element in my process because it determines the visual direction. So as creatives, myself and Maria, who works with me, like this helps drive the direction of the color palette and the whole look and feel. If we know that you're a badass, you know, we want to have the language and the tone of the personality that will come through in those personality traits. But sometimes you have that balance, right? Somebody could be very, let's look at an example, very intuitive, and there could be like a whimsy almost to their kind of brand, but we want to have some grounding words. So what I find for most people is there's a balance between the business type language, the meticulous, the I'm trying to think of some other examples. And then the other ones like quirky or funny. And so I like to find a good balance between the personality traits to make sure that we capture a three-dimensional person, not just one dimension of your brand.
Yeah, I think that I see that. I see that in brands when people have that three-dimensional piece, when they have the language that matches the visuals, that matches the logo, that matches the consistency, all of these things. I feel like what they do is they just convey instant trust.
Yes, exactly.
And it's intangible. So it's not about the nature of their content. It's actually about the way their content is packaged. And exactly. I feel like what it does is it, for me on this really subconscious level, is it speaks to the conscientiousness of a particular brand. And my brain immediately goes, listen, if they're putting this much effort into ensuring that everything across the board is coming across a certain way, then I automatically trust their content in a different capacity than I maybe otherwise would have.
And that actually, I think, goes even deeper than your brain. I feel like that's a gut instinct. That goes to intuition mm-hmm. and the feeling side. And, you know, what I really talk about is that we have to stop focusing solely on creating a brain-to-brain connection, that cerebral connection with people, and create the heart-to-heart connection. Mm-hmm. That's where you build the trust. That's where people feel like they know you before they've even met you, just by the way you write and the pictures on your website, as an example. I've had people say to me, with just having met me briefly, saying, I just know I have to work with you. And there's lots of different branding companies. There's lots of different people offering different brand foundation processes. And so I know that I'm not right for everybody and I'm not trying to attract everybody, but the right people will be attracted to the process I take them through because it resonates and aligns with them.
Yeah. And I feel like that's part of branding 101, is just stop trying to be everything to everyone.
Oh, yes.
Right. And that speaks to a scarcity piece. It speaks to a lack of sophistication in your own understanding of your offering. But part of this branding experience and part of what everyone has an opportunity to look at right now is really to delve into clarity related to who you want to serve. And right now might be a time where you're like, wow, I actually am able to serve a different population or a broader population than I thought. But it doesn't negate the fact that you still require some clarity around what the outer margins look like.
Yes. And if you're not clear, how will your audience be clear? Yeah. And right now, we're so overwhelmed with content, even more than we were before. Like, we were already overwhelmed. And now you can't open your phone without seeing 20 live video feeds and content about join this group and this offer. Like, you could spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week doing all of the exercise classes virtually and the mindset stuff and the free online trainings. And they're amazing. But now we have to try to find the ones that are really important to us that we really need. And it's even more important to stand out now because there's so much other noise.
Yeah, I think what the last few weeks have really done for me is enabled me to really hone in and solidify on the populations that I serve and the extraneous experimentations we've cut. Because one, we realize we can't be everything to everyone. And two, for me personally, I want to be very good at the audiences that I serve and really, really narrow in where we're going even more. What I would love for you to do, Laura, is I want you to speak to those business owners who have been up until this point, and they may continue to be very successful. Maybe they have a niche capacity or offering, but they've gotten away with a sloppy brand up until this point. Can you speak to the risks associated with that? And I know, you know, whether we're talking about, you know, entrepreneurs in general, or we're talking about practitioners, I think there's a lot of people who've gotten away with the website they created 12 years ago and those old perforated business cards and like these little these little pieces where they're just they got away with it, but I think at this point it's a real risk to not acknowledge the need to elevate their brand. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Sure. And have you seen one of those perforated business cards recently? Mm-hmm. That oh my gosh,
and on like crummy stock paper. I'm like, oh.
I think a lot of people are embarrassed to give me their business cards already. So if they have one of those, they probably would just say they didn't have any on them.
That's like
I get that comment a lot.
People don't want to eat around me. So I totally hear what you're saying.
So because of all the noise right now, you know, and the mindset and the way people are running their business, a lot of businesses maybe won't make it through this, or people will pivot completely out of the space you're in. So if you can tighten up your brand, if you can make it more memorable, more consistent, and speak more directly to your clients, there is a greater chance that maybe they're not going to hire you right now because of where they are in their life with finances or whatever, but they will think about you and remember you when they do have the financial resources and the time, and we can get back out and get back to, you know, normal, whatever that will be and whatever that will look like. And I feel like, you know, it's always been that it takes about 6 to 8 times for people to see you before they will buy from you typically. And I've been hearing even before all of this that it was more like 20 times. So imagine what that could mean right now. If you're sloppy in your brand, if you're inconsistent in your brand, if you're not clear in your messaging and your tone and who you serve, how you're missing out on all of those opportunities that you could actually be speaking to the right people.
Yeah, I want to share an example that happened to me in the last few days. I had someone reach out to me from literally the other side of the world and asking if we could support a huge body that they represent. And I said, sure. Like how, I mean, absolutely. I'm happy to deliver this content. And we moved very, very quickly on this. And I said, why were you able to do this? Cause I know there's usually a lot of due diligence that has to happen. And she said, honestly, we sat on a board together over 12 years ago. And she said, I trusted you then. and you have been executing at that same consistent level since. And so I just trust where you are at now. And I thought it was really interesting. You never know where these opportunities are going to come from, but the continuity and consistency and the attention that you put on what your brand represents is going to come back and support you when you least expect it.
Absolutely.
So I just thought it was kind of a perfect example, because I have some practitioners with very full practices and have had very successful businesses. And I was doing a little perusal yesterday of people's websites, and I was like, the risk in my mind is that there are opportunities for collaboration, for innovative approaches to care, for delivery of different material. And other entities are looking at your site, maybe because they've heard that you are, you know, a really high quality practitioner, put out really great content. And then they're looking at your brand assets going, you're maybe not quite what I, like, so people are making judgments right now because there's a lot of quick judgments that are needing to take place. And I think that investment of brand is actually really coming back to support those people who invested in it a while ago in the first place, in an ongoing manner. I think it's one of those intangibles that it just needs to be a check mark in how you support your business. That wasn't a question. It's an observation.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, we actually took the opportunity in the last couple of weeks to completely revamp my husband's website. You know, we do all of his branding, and he's like, you know what, now's the time to do this. And I'm actually looking at doing that. Even it's kind of been, ours has been on a bit of the back burner, but I'm like, you know what, if we do end up getting slower, which so far we're not, you know, thankfully, but I know that even our own website is, you know, something that I want to update. So I feel like while we need to be smart about where we're spending our money, we can't think in scarcity, because this will end, and we have to make sure that we show up as leaders to our audience, that we show up authentically, and that we are not a mess virtually, whether it's through oversharing your what's going on behind the scenes. You know, I think we have to really try to be positive, but try to be real. And I believe that the brighter our lights are, the more we can illuminate other people.
Can you speak to this idea of oversharing? Because honestly, people's social media channels are also a huge part of their brand. It's also a significant source of really how you make people feel, how you adjust other people's physiological response to you. And I remember we had dinner last year, and you were talking about your guidelines for sharing personal pieces on social media. And I think they apply now more than ever. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Absolutely. And I wrote a blog post about this not too long ago, so perhaps we could even share that
for sure
in the show notes. And I talked a lot about kind of vulnerability and visibility. And I feel like, you know, Brené Brown has given us all permission to be vulnerable. And while vulnerability is a great thing and can be a great part of our business, people are not using the vulnerability in the right way. So I believe we need to teach from our scars, not from our wounds. What that means is when you are in the thing, you can't teach from there. You can't teach the lessons from that place. It's afterwards when you can share what happened, you know, what you learned, where you are now, you can share the lessons. But when people go on social media to just share their hot mess of a life and their insecurities, and right now there is some of that. And it's just a matter of what we're sharing and how much, because it will make your clients and potential clients fear that you will not be in business any longer. Mm-hmm. Right? I've heard speakers talk about go way too personal into their life, and it makes me uncomfortable. And it makes me question, why would I ever work with this person? They haven't worked through this themselves. So I think right now we're in an interesting place, because we need to show that we're not like, oh my gosh, everything's perfect. We can't be tone deaf to the situation. Like even today on social media, I posted a picture of me laughing because I said I needed to laugh this week. I needed to laugh so hard. I was crying because there is a heaviness, and it's acknowledging mm-hmm. what's happening without it being that woe is me. Mm-hmm. The problem is when people start to feel sorry for you. And I want you to think about every post you put out there. Is the purpose of what I'm saying to get sympathy? And if that is the case, then you should not post it.
Right.
I believe we need to curate our vulnerable stories. Just because something is happening to you doesn't mean you need to share it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really wise advice. And even this idea of sharing a vulnerability, which I really love, I think that's also, it's also new for a lot of people. And so having some guidance like you are providing in terms of how do you do that appropriately? And there's some people who've been doing it for a long time and they're really good at doing advanced vulnerability moves online. That's how I'll call it. It's been very influential for their brand. But if that's not normally how you speak to your audience, to suddenly be falling apart, I think can also be construed the wrong way. And please don't confuse this, anyone, with you don't have room or permission to fall apart. There's no doubt we're all falling apart. It's just whether or not it's the right choice to share that in a social media context. And like you said, what is the intention behind that share? Because there's lots of ways of being real and accessible for people without giving them full access to all gaping wounds.
Exactly. And if it is a gaping wound, you know, that's where you go to your closest confidants, mm-hmm. whether it's your spouse or a girlfriend or whoever. You know, even though we can't necessarily see our friends, we can still call them and Zoom with them or whatever it is, and share and cry. And but that's the stuff that you can do with the closest people to you. Mm-hmm. That doesn't belong on your business social media page.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right? No, because it's a business. You are running a business and you still want people to believe that they can hire you and take you seriously. And if they get that impression now, will that ever leave them when this crisis is over?
Yeah, no, it's a wise perspective. And I, as you were speaking, it really reminded me of sort of, it's a leadership decision as well, but it reminded me of the role, you know, we have as parents with our kids. And it's okay for our kids to see us vulnerable. It's okay for our kids to see us crying. It's real. It's normalized. It's a great access point for conversation. But there are probably some moments of hysterical crying, where state management is actually to your advantage in interacting with those kids, because they don't necessarily have to own that piece either. So I think that you bringing awareness to this is something that's really important, especially right now.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Laura, if we were to give people sort of three quick tips in terms of get started, this is where I want you to go with your brand right now to make sure that it's adequately supported. You're leveraging the time effectively. Where would you suggest they get started?
So I believe there are three key elements. I mean, obviously, I think everybody needs a brand foundation, and the majority of people don't even necessarily know what that is. So I feel like that is really essential. But aside from that, and a part of that, there are three key elements that to me people need to really look at. And that's authenticity, visibility, and consistency. And so authenticity is your brand, are you speaking and writing in the voice that is authentic, or do you have a filter on? Are you showing up consistently, both from a frequency standpoint and visual, like fonts and colors and look and feel, because that will confuse people if you're changing things up constantly. And then the visibility, are you visible? Are you showing up online? Are you doing creative things? Can people see you? You can be authentic and you can be visible, but if you're inconsistent, you know, that's not going to help you. And you could be maybe really visible and really consistent, but inauthentic. And again, that's not going to help you. It's really those three things. If you can assess your own brand, like, am I consistent in the look and feel, in the tone, in the language? Am I authentic? Like, does this really truly represent who I am? Or am I putting this filter on because I think this is what people expect of me? Or what is industry standard? And of course, I'm doing air quotes, not that you can see that. So, you know, I often give the example that I used to straighten my hair. In fact, I posted a split picture of me on social media about a week ago, where there's a photo of me with straight hair and a photo of me with my curly hair. And I talked about the fact that that straight hair was like a filter. It was, even in the photo, my eyes aren't as bright and smiling. You can't see my teeth and my smile. I'm reserved in that photo. And then the next one, you see the wrinkles in my nose and the, like, the true personality of me comes out. Why was I hiding that true personality? Part of it was because I thought people wouldn't take me seriously, or, you know, it was too playful, or I wasn't professional enough. But who says what we have to look like and how we have to act?
Sorry, Laura. Keep going.
That's okay.
We just had a brand interruption.
So it's really, for me, it was coming to terms with, this is who I really am. And when it might sound trite to some people, but when I stopped straightening my hair, I really started letting my true, authentic voice and personality shine through. And ultimately, so many times the testimonials we get from clients, it's about how we made them feel. They felt supported and listened to and excited that it was fun. And fun is one of our brand personality words, which might sound like that's not a business word, but I want to have fun in my business and I want my clients to have a fun experience with us. And why can't fun be a part of business?
Yeah, I love that. Our two of our brand words are colorful and qualified.
Nice.
Right?
But see, yeah, the balance, right? Mm-hmm. Another one of mine is strong, like mm-hmm. powerful. Mm-hmm. Like I want to come across as strong and powerful and confident, but fun and accessible. And, you know, like there's life behind the brand. People want to know you.
Yeah,
so
you're not
don't
a bank.
Hide. No.
You don't have to look like one of the big six in order to convey that strength. I love that because there's an authenticity to that piece as well.
Exactly. And the visuals that you put out there, when they're aligned with you, the way you look, the way you talk, the way you sound, people will remember that. So my book is yellow, and, you know, quite often, like in a lot of my photographs, I have a yellow, you know, top I'm wearing, or if I'm on a podcast, like I have this beautiful kind of turquoise blue background and I was wearing my yellow shirt and somebody's like, oh, you're so on brand and you're the color of your book. The fact that people know the color of my book mm-hmm. and they know that yellow is one of my brand colors, like that just speaks volumes about the impact, because I'm consistent and I'm visible and I'm authentic when I show up in my business.
Yeah, I love it. But you're also walking the talk, which is
totally
part of your brand.
Hey, if I wasn't doing it, I couldn't, you know, tell other people to do it, right?
Absolutely. Laura, I've got a switch happening in our interview. I want to throw you what I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So just like we have them in our business, I believe that we have them in how we live our life as well. So I've got some COVID edition KPIs for you.
Okay, throw them at me.
First question, what are you binge watching right now?
Ooh, a show called Tin Star on Amazon Prime.
Okay, what's the premise?
It's pretty dark. It's a messed up family in rural British Columbia. And lots of drama. In fact, we decided we needed to go to a comedy or something lighter. But it's highly addictive and very messed up characters.
Okay, so it's hitting the interesting checkbox. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health right now?
I am doing yoga pretty much every day, and I'm meditating and writing in my gratitude journal every morning.
Love it. So key. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know? And bonus points if something badass has come up for you in the last few weeks.
Well, I used to play the electric guitar. I was like, especially loved, you know, Metallica and Guns N' Roses. Like that was my genre back in the day.
Okay. I didn't see that coming. That's great.
And I have a tattoo, and I was supposed to actually get a new one on April 1st, and that got canceled because of the coronavirus. So I was pretty bummed about that. So that's my new badass thing, is this tattoo I was supposed to get that's now postponed.
Okay, I can't wait to hear more about it. What are you and your family doing right now for fun or play?
We're watching Nailed It on Netflix, which is a good laugh when you need it. We are doing some Just Dance, so getting some dance moves out and going for walks, you know, and obviously keeping our 6 feet distance from people. Not that there's many people out.
Yeah, fair enough. And finally, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
Oh, I think you can learn aspects of it, but I feel like it's something I was born with.
I love it. I love the honesty there, Laura. You are up to so many amazing things. Where can we send people to learn more about what you are doing and throwing into this world?
Absolutely. So you can visit our website, which is labcreative.ca. You can follow us on social media. Lab Creative Inc. is our handle across all of the platforms. I'm most active on Instagram, so love to see you there. And you can see a lot of those posts where I've talked about vulnerability and all of those topics we've just been sharing. And you can check out my book, brandchemistrybook.com. And I think it's a bit of a delay to order it on Amazon right now, but if you want to check it out, you can check it out on Amazon.
Yeah, and I will attest to its fabulousness. Laura, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. This was so fun.
The Entrepology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Entrepology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Entrepology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Entrepology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a 2-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place. And that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there.